Epiphany, the manifestation of the Lord, the revelation of God, revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. We're celebrating that today. Jesus manifesting himself to the world, and it's really interesting how he manifests himself. he manifests himself in a cave where nobody is, nobody goes. The last place you would ever think the Messiah would come, in a cave where nobody is. That's his way of manifesting himself. And the other way we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, he's manifesting himself to the world. That's a little more ostentatious, you could say. A dove comes down from the sky and lands on, you know, probably dissolved into Jesus some way. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." That's a better manifestation, right? And yet I'm sure there wasn't much to see there, and the voice happened and disappeared. The other way the church says Jesus manifests himself is at the marriage of Cana, where he changes water into wine. Without any music or fanfare or thunder or lightning, he just kind of changes water. He takes water and becomes wine. No magic, no blinking like a genie. The way God manifests and does miracles and does things, he does it really, really, really modestly. Really modestly. And we know that the divinity of Jesus was very modest. You know, he walks the earth in a tunic, a kind of an off-white tunic, probably, in poverty. There's nothing glowing around him. So, you know, 30 years, he doesn't even show himself. Nobody even knows who he is. He's in poverty. Even if they wanted to look for him, they couldn't find him. They would think that he was a military commander or doing fantastic things. Jesus does it all modestly. And it kind of makes sense because if God, you know, in the Old Testament, when God wanted to make himself manifested, and he did it on the Mount of Sinai, he did it with thunder and lightning and clouds and darkness, and he frightened the Israelites to death. What did they do? They just backed away from the mountain, and we don't want to be, Moses, you talk to God, we don't want to get close to him. They backed away. And then what did they do? They started worshiping a calf. You know, how can God, you know, make sense of these people? How can he shake them? How can he shake them? Come on, listen to me. Do what I say. Change your heart. And, you know, it's obviously, if Jesus came with thunder and lightning and earthquakes and shaking the world, would that change the hearts of men? It didn't then in the Old Testament. And it wouldn't now, you know. Even if somebody should rise from the dead, they won't be converted. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be converted. So even if God, you know, even if Mary appears to you, Mary appears to a lot of people in Egypt or in different apparitions, some places in the world, is that going to change the hearts of men? Not if they're not willing, not if they don't have an open heart. Even the three magi go thinking something amazing is going to happen, thinking the whole Jerusalem is going to be in fanfare and excitement, you know, everybody's raising their hands and decorating everything, and they go there and there's nothing. They don't even know what's going on, and the star disappears, and they're all disheartened. You know, where is the Messiah? Were we fooled? Were we fools to follow this star coming into Bethlehem? Where is the Messiah, the King of the Jews? Nothing. You know, people don't even know. Nobody's even ready. They don't even care. And the leaders of Jerusalem, they don't even care because they want their own power. They don't care about the Messiah. They weren't looking for him. They weren't desiring him. And so they didn't find him. And Jesus. So Jesus manifests himself in a very modest way. And the same thing in our own life. You know, we can't expect fantastic things. We have to give him our heart. We need to be looking for Jesus. The three kings looked for Jesus with earnestness and strong desire and great faith. They really, really wanted to see the Messiah and be with him. And they really loved God. They really loved the God who they knew in a clouded way. And they came, they searched and asked for him. They asked King Herod and they left him. And then they see the star, and the translation here is they were overjoyed at seeing the star. I like the translation, they were exceedingly joyful at seeing the star. After all their effort and their disappointment, the people in Jerusalem didn't know anything about it. They were disappointed, saddened, and then they leave Herod, and they're overjoyed that they saw the star. And they come to the cave in Bethlehem. They find the child. And what do they see? Poverty. Poverty, the mother and the child. And there's complete silence. You know, some of the mystics say Mary and Joseph didn't say a word. They just arrived there in complete silence. They're probably kneeling down, looking at Jesus and Mary with great faith, and God filled their hearts and satisfied their desires more, way more than they would have expected. They were just totally amazed that God would come to earth in this kind of way, in this kind of modest way, in poverty, in silence. And that's what touched their hearts. That's what moved their hearts. And they brought the faith back to their people in a real way, in a deep way, in a way that penetrated their hearts and their lives, because they were open and they wanted goodness, they wanted God, and they sought him, they seeked him, they found him, and God satisfied their desires exceedingly, over way more than they would have wanted to see fantastic things. They didn't, and God filled their hearts with joy and faith and happiness, and they were satisfied when they went back, much more so. So if we want to be satisfied, we can't look for fanfare and expect apparitions and amazing things. We too need to seek him, desire him, come to church, pray, and give to Jesus. What do we give him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Give to Jesus, and then we'll get. Give to God first, and then we'll get overflowingly, it'll pour forth into our lap. God will give us the graces and joy and happiness that we want in this life, and much in the hope for the next life. Give to God gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold representing love, frankincense, prayer, and myrrh representing our sacrifices to God. Give to God. This is, what do I give to God? You know, love, real love, which means, you know, giving myself to God, giving myself to him, my whole life to God, obeying him, doing everything to please God, giving him my prayers, thoughtfulness, always thinking of God, every day, all throughout the day, always praying, being immersed in prayer all the time. All the time. Wouldn't that be a gift to God? Wouldn't you want to be thought of all the time by your loved ones, by those who you care about? Didn't you want them to think about you all the time, pray for you? That's what we should do. That's what God wants. He wants us to think about him. He wants us to really love him, give our lives to him. And sacrifices, which are gifts to God, strong gifts to God, proof that we really love God. Their prayer, turbocharged prayers, our sacrifices, you know. When I do things I don't want to do, things that are good that I don't want to do, things, you know, giving up the things I want to do, sacrificing many things, that's really, really, really what we have to do to give things to God, but especially not to sin. It is mortification, it is sacrifice, is not giving into my pleasures that will keep me from sin and will also be a gift to God. giving him something. You know, so if you want to know what you need to do to make God happy, give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, love, prayer, and sacrifice. If you want to know, a lot of people don't even want to know. Do you know what to do today? Most of us go throughout the day, I got this to do, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to enjoy that, I want to do this, I want to be with this person, these people, these friends, I want to go this place, I want to do all these things. I don't want to sin, but I want to do all these things, and so that's what I want to do. Instead, it's very much like giving things to God, giving these things to God, seeking what God wants us to do. Most of us don't even do that. Most of us probably don't even want to give these gifts to God. We want to, but we just don't think about it. Love, prayer, and sacrifice. Maybe we don't always think about those things. We should. We should. And it's the same thing with doing God's will, which is really what he wants. We have to think about it. What does God want me to do today? I need to seek that. I need to think about it. I need to really think about it. Seek what God wants me to do, and then to do it, and to really, pray for the grace to do it. You know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort, and that's what we really should be doing throughout our whole life. Learn to do it. We need to learn to do it. Seek what God wants every day, frequently throughout every day. What do you want me to do, God? And what do you want me to do with my time? I spend my time well. Seek God. What is God wanting me to figure it out? I need to figure it out. What time is available? What should I be doing? What are my duties? What can I do? What is the best thing to do? These things, we need to figure it out. We need to think about it. It takes, some effort to do that. And also to accept what God puts in our life. Sicknesses, inconveniences, annoyances, difficulties of every kind. Oh, I'm glad. I don't feel well today, so I have something to offer to God. This thing really bothers me. This person really bothers me. It's an opportunity. I can offer this up to God and practice charity. Look at all these things I can do to God, for God. So this is, God is manifesting himself today as a little child, a sign. God, we never would have expected it. God shows himself as a little child, as a Messiah. God, do what he tells you to do, as miracle worker, changing water into wine, and he'll change many things in your life for the better if you want it. So he's really looking for an open heart, a desire for the good, a desire to change my life to please God. He's looking for that from us. So I don't need the thunder and lightning. I don't need somebody to appear to me from the dead. I will change my life myself. I will do that for God because I want to. I want to please God. And so remember, we try to please God in offering him these gifts. As he manifests himself more and more to us, the more we give to him, this is the way we should live. God will manifest himself to us as we give him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Fructum ventris tubi.